It's Erev Shabbos, Parashas Vayigash. There's no Friday Seder, Shana Bet Friday Seder this morning. It's actually early Friday morning that I'm recording this shmooze. As those of you that were in Yeshiva know, on Erev Shabbos when the Shana Bet goes to Bnei Brak, so there's no Friday Seder because the bus is leaving already at 10:45, so I try to give the Bachrim, the Shabbat guys, time to get ready for Shabbos. But I know that last week there was no shmooz because Hanukkah, and I got a few emails asking me if I'm okay, so I figured I'll take this opportunity at night to say over shmooz and upload it. I want to focus on two nekudos in Parshas Vayigash. We know that Sefer Bereishis is replete with Ma'aseh Avos Simen Labanim, that the actions of our forefathers stand as a symbol before the future generations. And in this week's parasha, the sons of Yaakov are settling in, so to speak, to Mitzrayim. We see two very important ways of preparing and behaving in Galus. The first pasuk that I want to discuss, first episode, is in Perek Mem Vav pasuk Chav Ches. Ve'asihuda shalach lufanav el Yosef lahoros lufanav Goshna vayavo arzo Goshen. Yehuda was sent ahead of everybody else to Goshen. They came to Goshen. What does Rashi say? Lufanav kodem sheyagil l'sham. Before he would come there. Why? From there, there'll be Hora, Halacha, Beis Hora. So we see, very important, that in order for anything in Yiddishkeit to be successful, in order to be able to withstand the outside world, a person has to be rooted in Torah. Torah has to be the foundation of any exposure to dangerous elements. As the Gemara in Kedushin says, Barasi Yetzirah, Barasi Torah Tavlin, I created the Yetzirah, which is the symbol of all distractions. But you can survive. You can overcome the Yetzirah through what? The Torah Tavlin, the antidote of Torah. And so if the Klal Yisrael, Bnei Yaakov, are coming to settle in Mitzrayim, which we know is Malay Pritzus, etc., the only way to survive is to be found in the Torah. Now, I actually listened to last year's Shmooze tonight, just to see what I spoke about last year, and I focused on the idea that it doesn't say that he went to learn there first. It said L'takin l'beis Talmud, a house of learning, a house of Horah, a house of Halacha. Because it's not enough, even if the Bnei Yaakov were to be the Chamim, Yerei Shemayim, it's not enough for them to go ahead and continue learning in their own private homes. It had to be in a central place. It had to be a Beis Medrash. The importance of a Beis Medrash and also for the fact that, first of all, it's a Beis Medrash, the Kedusha of a Beis Medrash, but also for Chaverim, for Chavrusas, is tremendous. We know that you will all admit, or everybody would admit, that if, let's say, they're off from Yeshiva, they're on vacation, or they're in summertime, it's one in a million a person who could be successful in his learning without having Chavrusa and learning at home. I'm sure you will all admit it. It's very, very, very rare for somebody to find success. Where do people find success in their learning and growth in their learning? In a Beis Medrash, with a Chavrusa, with a Shir, with a Tzura, with a infrastructure. Without it, it's very hard. In almost all areas of life, it's like that, but especially in Torah. Torah needs to have a base Talmud. It has to have a house which is set aside for Limud HaTorah. But what you see over here is that through Torah is the only way to protect yourself from the outside elements of the world. And those of us in Shalabed that are going back to America, those of us that are already in America, pursuing not just Limud HaKodesh, but also Limud HaChol, and professions and so on, the only way to be properly rooted and to be properly grounded is by making Torah your ikar. Of course, at certain times of our lives, Torah is not the in terms of quantity, not the most, doesn't get the most hours of our day. But if we're able to make Torah the, in terms of quality, the most important part of our day, so then, just like Klai Yisrael was able to make it out of Mitzrayim alive and kicking with the Torah and the Limud Torah in hand, so too Yisrael Bizoche to continue to grow in Torah, even though you have, you're involved in Limud Chol, or you're involved in a job, and so on and so forth. The other very important Nekuda that we see from the brothers going down to Mitzrayim is that when they're approaching and they're about to be interviewed, so to speak, introduced is probably the better word, introduced to Paro. So Yosef prepares them, he tells them, Paro's going to ask you what you do. We've been shepherds our whole lives. Yosef advises them to tell them that they're shepherds. Now we're talking about big, successful, world-class, aristocratic family. And what do they choose? And they could have been appointed as Yosef's helpers. I mean, not just helpers, not just his slaves. They could have, you know, their own government. They could have been members of government. They could have gotten the most prestigious jobs within Mitzrayim. Wouldn't that have been great? They had money. They came down to Mitzrayim essentially because they had no food, but they had money, they had power, they were well respected, people knew about them. And what do? They tell Paro that what are they? The shepherds. Now, a shepherd is not the most adequate, as we know. Shepherds, from the perspective of the Mitzrayim, was looked down upon. When you think about the psyche of a person, it's like the general teva, the general nature of a person would be to try to impress everybody else. I want to be impressive. I'm coming to meeting Paro. And if I tell him I'm strong and I can fight, if I tell him I'm intelligent and I can help run the government and help Yosef out with the remaining years of famine, wouldn't a person feel great? But yet what do? They say the one thing that Paro doesn't want to hear, we're shepherds. And he said, no, get out of here. You know, I'm going to put you somewhere else. It's an unbelievable thing that if a person wants to be successful in the outside world, he has to know how to separate himself. He has to know. A person, on the one hand, he wants to be haughty a little bit. He wants to show how great he is. And he wants to, as they say, Nidish Del Tzu, he wants to connect to the outside world and mingle, intermingle with the outside world. A person has to know he's a Jew. He's a shepherd. And in order to, he has to keep his distance. If he keeps his distance, so then if they're able to stay in Goshen, then they'll be able to retain the Torah, then they'll be able to retain their identity, and they won't be drawn in to the pizzas of Mitzrayim. And even though very often, you know, a common occurrence could be somebody's in an accounting firm or a law firm, and he's invited out for drinks with the rest of the staff, the rest of the employees, he has to know. Even though he wants to fit in, to a certain degree, and you should fit in. You should act with a tremendous amount of respect to one's colleagues and so on. And that is going to get you far, but it only goes too far. There's halacha. I once heard a real Ben Torah tell me, Derech Agav, that he went out on a firm party and he had a beer. L'maisa, it's also. Person not allowed to have alcohol with goyim. Why? Because it could lead to bad things. And there aren't, I mean, I don't have to repeat it. I think I've told over a story, a modern day story of a person who was mamish on a very high level. And he was coerced, or he finally gave in to go to an office party. And the end of the story wasn't so positive. But the point is, the person has to keep his distance. So the person has to know. Somebody told me a story tonight about somebody who once left yeshiva and was going to a prestigious law school. And his Rebbe told him, whatever you do, don't take off your yarmulke. Whatever you do, don't take off your yarmulke. So he went to his interview for law school. And the first interview, they said, listen, you know, you really should take off your yarmulke. You may not get in. And he said, no, this is who I am. That's it. I'm going to keep my yarmulke on. And sure enough, he got an interview. And even though he wore his yarmulke, he got in. And then it came to a few years later, after he was top of the class in his law school, he went for an interview at a big law firm. And all the names in the law firm made it sound, all the partners, the law firm sounded like a not such a Jewish law firm. And as he's waiting there, and he knows what's riding, was writing on his interview, and he's sitting there in his yarmulke, and he self-consciously thinks that the secretary is looking at him and has yarmulke and saying, like, there's no way you can get this job with the yarmulke. So self-consciously decides, you know, he'll put his yarmulke in his pocket as he's going into the meeting with the three primary partners. He takes his yarmulke out, puts it in his pocket, and he walks in, and what does he see? He sees a firm man with yarmulkes on, and they look at him, and he looks at them, and they look at him, and they say, we thought you were a man of principles. I guess we heard wrong. We'll be in touch. And he never got the job, and he got a job at a decent law firm, and he made, you know, he was successful somewhat, but who knows what could have been. I have a Masorah from one of our Rebbeim that if you do the right thing, you never lose. The person has to be strong with his principles. The person has to know when to put himself out there, when not to, when to separate himself, when to intermingle. I mean, take the lessons, the Masorah is that when you do the right thing, you never lose. So a person has to follow the ways of Yaakov, the sons of Yaakov, and realize that he's got to keep his distance. And that's how to survive in Golos. I also want to add a story about Limud HaTorah. We understand that the way to survive Golos, the way to survive challenges is to be rooted and founded and grounded in Torah. I saw in the Hakdama of Vaharev Nechelik Beis the most unbelievable story. It's about a person who's not the biggest Talmud Chacham, but he attends a daily Daf Yomi Shir every single day without fail. Even if he's busy, he pushes and pushes and pushes, and he never misses a day. However, there's one day that he simply could not make it. But since he was very diligent and consistent, he decided that even though he wasn't so strong in learning, he was going to push himself and he was going to learn the daf by himself. And he was going over it and over it and over it. And he gets to Rashi, and he had a big question on Rashi. He didn't know what to do. So he worked on it and tried to figure out what Rashi was talking about. He had a question on Rashi. And after trying for a certain amount of time, eventually he fell asleep. And while he was sleeping, he had a dream. And a man came to him in his dream, and he looked like a malach. And he came to him and he said, excuse me, is it true that you had a question on Rashi? And in his dream he said, yes. And the man that he sees in his dream says, you know, let's learn together and let's see if we can figure it out. Let's see if we can figure out Rashi. So, in his dream, he's sitting there and learning with this person. And, sure enough, they figured out how to answer the question. And as the man in the dream is getting up and ready to leave, this Jew, this simple Jew, who's a Daf Yomi Jew, turns to the man who he just learned with in the dream, and he says, Ma Shimcha? What's your name? And he answered back, Shlomo Ben Aderet. Okay, Shlomo Ben Aderet. So, the next day the man wakes up, and the Magid Shir of the Daf Yomi Shir says to this person, his most reliable, his most consistent participant, and he says, what happened to you yesterday? So the man said, I'm so sorry. I literally, there was no way I could make it. It was impossible. Usually I try my best to be here every day. I absolutely cannot be here. However, I was able to learn on my own. But as I was learning on my own, I came up with a very, very big question in Rashi. I couldn't understand because I had a strong question in Rashi. And I had this dream. And, you know, this man came to me in a dream. He sat with me, he learned with me, and he explained to me the answer. And he, on the way out, you know, he said his name was Shlomo Ben Aderet. The Rav turned completely white. He could not believe it. He quickly went to the shelf and he pulled out a Rashba, otherwise known as Rabbeinu Shlomo Ben Aderet. And sure enough, they saw it black and white, the Kasha and Rashi and the Teretz that this man gave. Now, this Magid Shir told this story over to Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein Shlita. We should have a Refuah Shlema. We actually tried to see him this year. And it sounds like he's not feeling so well. I don't know how serious it is, but he should have a Refuah Shlema. And the Magid Shir said that there is no way this guy is lying, because he knows that he's on the level of a Gemara Rashi, and that he didn't even know who Shlomo Ben Aderet was, the Rashba. And without the Rashba coming into him in the dream, he probably would not have been able to understand this Rashba. So it's clear to him that the man's not lying. The man's mom is telling the truth. So the Magid Shir commented that what was this chus? This chus was the hasmada, the consistency. That's why he was zeicha to a revelation from the Rashba. This is the second time that I saw him, the Harevna. If you remember the story from Rosh Hashanah, where somebody came back from the dead, that Gilui Shechina here is also some sort of a form of Gilui Shechina in a dream from the Rashba coming back. The Rashba had passed away 700 years before. Because of what? Because this person, his whole life was Torah. He was busy the whole day. But what was the main focus of his life? His Daf Yomi Shir. His Torah. We don't get up to Shema. We're not going to be asked how much did we learn, what sechdos we learned, how many hours we learned today. No, the question is going to be kavati itul Torah. If you set aside time for Torah, because that's the greatest expression of this is what's important to me. This is my life, and that's why, and this is how a person gets to Olam Haba, and this is how Klai Yisrael survives. Klai Yisrael survives through the foundation of Torah, and that's why Yehuda had to go down to Mitzrayim and first and foremost build the Batei Midrashos in order to Klai Yisrael can survive the Golos. So the message is to those boys who are leaving soon from Shana Bet, and those of us that are in college, and those of us that are in the workforce, who are we? We're Ovdei Hashem. We're Bnei Yaakov. We're Bnei Yisrael. That's who we are. How do we retain that? How do we make sure that we stay and we always remember who we are? Through Limud Torah as the foundation of our life, and also realizing that we're shepherds. We can be involved in the outside world, but ultimately we're different. Ultimately we need to be a part to a certain degree. And famous line that I like to say over that I heard from one of our Rebbeim, that if we don't make Kiddush, then the Goyim will make Havdalah. Meaning, if we Mekadosh ourselves, so everything is great. If we act with Kedusha, everything is great. But if Chas HaShalom, we don't act with proper Kedusha, so the Goyim HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends his messages to the Goyim, and he makes Havdalah on us. Shabbos Zochah to a great Shabbos, and a post-Chanukah Aliyah.